The reading today is from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Dear Lord, thank you that we can gather here together and learn from your word. And as we come to learn from this psalm and from other passages, we pray that you would give David the ability to really transfer what he's been learning over this past week and help him to get that over to us and help us as we listen to be discerning and to be able to take that in and apply it to our lives directly. And bless the rest of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shay and Lania, and what a special service, and so wonderful to see you all, and those watching online, welcome to you as well. Well, on Wednesday, which is often my day where I try and prepare my messages for Sunday, I found myself, after I've spent some time reflecting on the passage and just going through it and jotting some things down, that my soul was kind of being stirred in just this wonderful God that we've been hearing read about in Psalm 96. But I often, when I prepare, I find it helpful to go to a cafe. Sometimes I do that straight off, but I just thought mid-morning I would I'd get out at that point. It kind of helps me, I think, to connect with just the outside world, to think, how does this passage connect with real people? So I took my pen, my Bible, and a bit of paper. I'm quite old school like that, and a few books. And I just went to a cafe around the corner. So as I was, there, and I just started reading one of the stories in the book that I had with me about a guy who just had an opportunity that he didn't imagine to kind of see someone on a train in a whole fresh light. God was just kind of touching his heart. I found myself writing this down on a bit of paper, and this is what I wrote. How we see God changes how we see people and how we see stuff. How we see God changes how we see people and how we see stuff. And as I wrote that down, the lady who was working in the cafe asked me what I was doing. And I said, well, I'm preparing a message for Sunday. I'm the local pastor around the corner at the church. And she was fascinated. She said she was kind of from a nominal Muslim background, but she had a friend who was a Christian, and she had so many questions. And so we talked and talked, and we talked about Jesus. We talked about the Alpha course that Debbie has just spoken. I said it's a great place to come and ask your questions. And you know what? She was really, really keen to come. And she was so keen, she spoke to the other lady who was working in the cafe and persuaded her that it would be great to come along with her as well. And I was sitting there having just thought about this passage in this kind of phrase, and I thought, God, you are at work around me. You are the big God. You're not just at work at church on Sunday mornings. I know that, but it was so good to be reminded. You're there in that cafe. You're there on Wednesday morning with me. He's there with you on Monday morning or Friday evening. God is at work around us in all kinds of ways. And you know, this morning, as we think about this theme of worship, I want us to see it is much bigger than we maybe have thought. It impacts every area of our lives. You know, I believe that as we are here this morning through God's word, through the songs we've been singing and the things we've been hearing, God wants to change the way we see him afresh. And as he does that, to change how we see others around us. You know, I love the Psalms. I try to read the Psalm every day as part of my devotions. I find it such a blessing. And so we're in this series called Songs of Freedom as we look at a few Psalms as we start this year in January. And, what Penny shared about that Jesus came to set the captives free and there's nothing too hard for him to do. It is a wonderful as it picks up on this theme of freedom because I really believe God wants to set us free, to be free to follow him, to reach out to those around us, to be an extended family who really know what it is to have a place of belonging and to do everything in love so that we'd be free, not just to live for ourselves, as is so common in the world, but it's actually so restrictive, but actually free to really live for God and live for others. And that's our values as a church, that we want to grow in these things. We want every generation to be raising the next generation to be like this, to be these people who are set free by the love of God and the work of Christ. And you know, actually there's a way of looking at this which kind of looks through that lens of love. If you like, we want to be loving God, our Father, and Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to be following Jesus and that kind of upward direction of our lives in love. We want to be loving each other as the family of believers, being an extended family together. That's like the inn. And then we want to be loving the lost, those who don't know the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to be reaching out with purpose in our lives to help others come to know him. And it's this last kind of part, this reaching out, that I want today to help us see how as we think about the theme of worship, our witness is connected with our worship. In fact, our witness can be part of our worship. And so as we go through Psalm 96, I want, as we go through this psalm, to help us think about how do we see God? How do we see people? And how do we see the things that God has given us? So firstly, how do we see God? Well, one Christian author, A.W. Tozer, said this. A great author. I encourage you to read anything he's written, really. This is from a book of his called Knowledge of the Holy. It's about a book about God. He says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what comes into your mind when you think about God? You know, when the psalmist thinks about God, it makes him want to sing. When the psalmist in Psalm 96 sort of starts thinking about God, he says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. I wonder, when you think about God, do you think of things that make you want to sing? Is there something in your heart that is affected? You know, as the psalmist thinks about this, he doesn't just want to sing himself. He wants to get everyone else singing. He's like, this is so amazing, folks. It's so worth singing about. And he, particularly in verse 2, he starts with saying, proclaim his salvation. Day after day, proclaim his salvation. You see, we worship a God who saves. Salvation means to set free, to rescue. It's again that same theme we were thinking of earlier, this God who's come to save us, to help us, because time and again, we need his help. I don't know about you, but so often I find myself, and I'm sure you do as well, overwhelmed, aware of my brokenness and the brokenness of others. times when we fall short of our own standards, let alone what God wants us to do. Times when we are so aware of our need for rescue. And God is a God who wants to come and save us and help us. He's good. And in fact, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And the best gift, the gift that is the kind of greatest picture of God's heart to save us, is actually Jesus himself. His name means God saves. And Debbie, when she was sharing a story, shared this verse from John 3:16, that God so loved the world. Why don't you say this with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's how much the God who made heaven and earth loves you and me and your neighbor and your colleague and your grandkids and your grandparents. That's how much God loves us. That he gave his one and only Son to set us free, to give us life. No wonder the great hymn writer Charles Wesley said this. He said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." You see, worship, it might be bigger than singing, but it certainly includes singing. It's not just having a singing mouth, but a singing heart, a heart that delights in God, a heart that is stirred by who he is and what he's done. And so as you go through Psalm 96 in just 13 short verses, just here are some of the things that the psalmist says about God. In verse 2, he talks about his salvation. In verse 3, we read of his glory. In verse 4, we read of his greatness. In verse 6, we read of his splendor and his majesty and his strength. In verse 9, we read of his holiness. In fact, it talks about the splendor or the beauty of his holiness. In verse 10, we read of his reign. The Lord reigns. He's Lord. In verse 13, we read of his justice. And then the psalm ends with talking of his faithfulness. In fact, as we paused in our worship a while back to think of just, you know, our own song of praise, I found myself thinking of God's faithfulness. You know, his faithfulness means that he is always loving. He is always good. He is always righteous and just. He is faithful, a faithful God in all his ways. So I wonder if we could just pause here at this moment in the service and just think, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And maybe then just bring something of your personal thankfulness and praise to God in your heart. Just, Lord, in this moment of stillness, we praise you for something of your character that you're particularly reminding us of right now. Lord, I pray that we would grow in our worship of you, in having singing hearts, hearts that delight in who you are. And may that be true of us coming on Sunday, but Lord, also in our going day by day, may we proclaim your salvation. Amen. You know, that thing of day by day, it's great to get into the habit of it. Why not even allow your heart to proclaim and to sing and to talk of God on Monday? Just find somewhere, to someone, even if it's just saying out loud, God, you're wonderful. It gets us kind of going. And that actually leads us to the second thing then. Remember, how we see God changes how we see people. So secondly, how do we see people? Well, the Bible is clear that we are made for God. You and I, everyone around you, we're made for God, for a relationship with our Maker. We're made for his glory. And as you and I help people connect with God, we help them connect with the very purpose for which they're made. And one famous theologian, Augustine of Hippo, from about the 4th century, he wrote this famous words: "You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." And so the psalmist knows that we're made for God, and so he moves from, in verse 3, talking about our singing and our talking to God, to actually our talking about God to others. In verse 3, look what he says. He says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his deeds among all peoples." There is a connection between our mission, our going and declaring of this God, and our worship of him. I love a book by John Piper called Let the Nations Be Glad. I remember reading it as a student. If you're a student here, I encourage you, seize that opportunity in time. Yes, to read about your subject, but to read books that are going to inspire you in your faith. And this is the opening of Let the Nations Be Glad. I can remember reading it way back when. And it says this: "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church." This was a book about missions. John Piper writes, "Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity. But worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. But worship is also the fuel of missions because passion for God in preaching precedes the offer of God in preaching. You cannot commend what you don't cherish. Missions begins and ends in worship." You see, this isn't just something for a few. There's not a kind of pluralist kind of worldview that the psalmist has that says, oh, they worship something else and that's fine for them. We worship God, so we'll just stick and make sure we do that. No. The psalmist says repeatedly, verse 1, 2, and 3, this is something for the whole earth, for among the nations. It says, "Marvelous deed amongst all peoples." I love, Debbie, your heart of like, "I want everyone," she said. Did you notice that? To know this. And so we go as a church. We're to be a going people, telling and speaking of the love of God, kind of getting out and about, you know, particularly initially in our kind of local neighborhood in Brighton. God's got us here for such a time as this. I love this picture of get on the seafront. You step back a little bit, even when you get out to sea, and you can kind of see something of Brighton. But God has got you in this city for a purpose. And this maybe is one of the purposes, because this is the data from the census, which I spoke about at the end of last year, recently come out. And it shows that Brighton is one of the most neediest places for the good news of Jesus Christ to be shared in our nation. Right there in the blackest bit, the highest percentage of those who say they have no religion. In fact, the other place in the UK that's got similarly high percentages is the Valleys of Wales, a place that for over 20 years we've been partnering with churches there, and you'll hear more as we come towards the latter part of our service about how we're going to keep reaching out there into that part of the world. And as a church, we want to go locally and globally with this news that Jesus saves. We want to say, "God, what's our part?" Yeah, who could you invite to Alpha or to a Sunday morning? Who could you invite to your community group or a cluster of your communities as you come together and reach out? And how can you guys, how can we keep not letting the enemy keep us kind of captive in fear? I found this so helpful. Recently shared this with some leaders about a picture that someone shared with myself and others about how often we kind of feel like there's some barriers between us and others sharing the good news of Jesus. It's a bit like, you know, having one of these bits of kind of tape that kind of says, "Keep out." And, you know, kind of like police tape or something like that. And it's like, you know, between us and those who don't know Christ, it can feel sometimes like either they've put up this barrier or kind of our culture has sometimes in like, "No, you keep your faith, I'll keep mine, thank you very much." And so they can feel like there's this barrier there. Sometimes it's even the fear in our hearts. But you know what he said? He said, the thing with police tape is most people kind of don't go past it. But a policeman comes along, and what does a policeman do? He just kind of lifts it up and does like that, doesn't he? And goes underneath it, because he has authority to pass through the tape. And he goes about his way. And this guy said, well, the thing is, he said, you and I have been given authority by the God who made heaven and earth. In fact, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. He's giving you authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. He's saying, lift up the tape. Go. You are commissioned by me with my authority to speak into people's lives. So guys, don't let the tape get in the way of what God wants you and I to do. And maybe even just now, maybe we could pause again and just say, God, who do you want me to move towards? Debbie got us just doing that. But God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might have courage to speak of you to others? Lord, fill me with your Spirit even now. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us opportunities to speak of you. Lord, for those people we were thinking of, move us towards them, we pray. In your mighty name, amen. People are made for God. In fact, the psalmist says, declare his glory among the nations. And then in verse 4, he kind of says, why? For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. There's no other things that can save. No other one that can save. Only God. Only the Lord. Only the Lord Jesus. He alone can save. That's why we go and say, look, here's this message of salvation. And the crazy thing is, so often we do turn to all kinds of other things to put our trust in and our security. And I love, Joanna, when you prayed out that trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will definitely guide you in the right path. And yet we so often, what happens is a bit like in Romans 1, the writer Paul says, they started worshiping created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. We so easily turn gifts of God into things that we put our trust in rather than the Creator. Good things, people, ourselves, others, things, money, resources. But you know, actually, this is the last thing. As we change the way we see God, and that changes the way we see people, it changes the way we see things. And so we see in Psalm 96, we don't have time to go into everything, but there's this repeated refrain, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe is like literally give to the Lord, glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. Since ancient times, worship often, almost always, encompass some kind of act of sacrifice or offering, a bringing of something to God. And you see, if you go on through the psalm, this is what all of creation is doing. Let the heavens rejoice, verse 11. Let the earth be glad. Let the fields and the trees, they're all singing their praise of God. Why? Because everything was made for God. The Apostle Paul, in that letter to the Romans, when he's been declaring all that God's done, just kind of has in Romans 11 this outburst of praise, and he says, for from him and through him, and what's this next little bit? And for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. All things are made for God. And so as we worship, we come and we say, God, yeah, very appropriately, as Olivia got us to do, we say, God, here is what I have. I bring it to you as an offering. I bring my gifts. You know, as a church, one of the things I love about this church is its generous heart to help those in need. And I want to say, again, the cost of living crisis continues. So if you are here and you are in need, please don't let fear hold you back from asking for help. We want to help you. Whether through an emergency food bank or cap debt advice, we want to be a church that helps those in need, whether in the congregation or in the city, through these times. But maybe you actually, God has provided for you, and you have enough to share with others. And maybe there's a reminder as you come into the year of saying, I'm not going to be held back by a fear of the financial uncertainty. Lord, I want to live by faith. I want to bring, as it were, afresh all that I have and say, God, what do you need this year? A great thing to do at the beginning of the year. We try and do this as a couple, just say, God, what would you have us give? I sometimes find it helpful to just pray a simple prayer. It says, Lord, anywhere, anytime, anything, here I am, Lord. I want to offer you my life. Everything that I have is from you. And I want not to use people to get things. I want to use things to help you, God, reach people with your love and kindness. And so maybe again, this is a chance to just pause. And just in the stillness say, Lord, everything I have is from you. Everything I have is for you. And so, Lord, would you guide me? Would you guide us in our giving? For your name's sake. Lord, have your way. Amen. You know, that is the freedom we have to live a life of everything in love. The freedom to then live for God and for others. And the psalmist, he kind of knows that he can live free like that because the day is coming which will see everything put right. This psalm kind of ends with this anticipation of the hope and joy of the Lord's return. And in fact, the whole Bible ends with that same anticipation of hope. The Lord Jesus has come. He came the first time to save, and he's coming again a second time to make everything new. And so you and I can live free lives in hope, not fear, with faith in him, because he is going to come and make everything new. He's going to turn what was wrong right. He's going to completely do away with everything that's wrong. And you know that lady in the cafe? One of the questions she had was, what's the difference between Muslims and Christians? And I said, well, one of the differences is that Christians believe that none of us are good enough. The problem with Jesus coming and sorting all that's wrong in the world is there's wrong in me and in you. And yet, Jesus first came to save. He came to take the wrong in my life upon himself and to give me his righteousness so that you and I could be made fit for heaven to be with him forever. In fact, as we end the book of Revelation, we see new songs being sung in heaven, and this is one of them. They sang a new song, Revelation 5:9, about Jesus. You were worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and people and nation and language. That is what God has done, and that's the worship we're caught up in, the heavenly worship that is about Jesus, about what he's done to save and how he's going to come and make all things new. And so let us worship him. Maybe the band could just come up on the stage, and we could just on our feet together, if you're able to join me, we could just come and say, God, would you help us see you afresh each day. Lord, would you give us eyes to see others as you want us to? Would we more clearly have hearts full of worship? Lord, able to see others and the things you give us as you want us to. And so, God, we offer you our lives. We surrender all to you now in worship, love, and praise. Amen.